for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, June 26, 1978. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, summer camp meeting being held in Hot Springs, Arkansas. This tape is with Chuck Flynn, teaching on the release of the gifts.
Lord, we thank you for that rest. We praise you for the beautiful anointing, hallelujah, that you have abode within us, and that strength and that presence of thy person. Use us, Lord, as we speak life unto thy word, that we will all be released, hallelujah, with the manifestation of thy life. And thy glory, hallelujah, wilt impart upon us with thy strength and thy person. Lord, we speak to you this day out of our hearts, and we love you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We'll turn to the second chapter of Acts this morning, beginning with the verse 1. Looking to the believer's life, the strength of the believer is in the Spirit of the Lord, in the degree of yielding unto the anointing of the presence of the Lord. For we are the temple of the Most High God, and in this area of the tabernacle anointing, you have five tabernacles. You have the tabernacle in heaven, in Hebrews 9, you have the tabernacle of Moses, beginning with the book of Exodus. You have the tabernacle of David. You have the tabernacle of Jesus, John 10 to John 17. And you have the tabernacle or the temple of the believer. Then, of course, in the millennium, there is another tabernacle. Here we're dealing with the five groups, those five tabernacles of the temple. In John 14, just as an introduction, Jesus mentioned, I don't want my loved ones to be troubled. I don't want your heart to be troubled. I don't want the entrance of my authority over you. He called it the heart. I don't want that which would allow me to enter in to you, to fill you with my capacity and my person. I don't want your heart to be troubled. Many of us think, well, now that means that there are certain circumstances that would make us worry. And Jesus said, well, I don't want you just to be concerned. That, of course, is obvious. But what Jesus really meant, he said, I don't want anybody to veil your heart to stop me from entering in fully into your temple. And I don't want your heart to be troubled. I don't want you to be uncertain and to be in a deceiving way. And this is the original in the intent of the Lord Jesus. And he knew that right after a believer and a person believes and they're justified by faith and the blood of Jesus cleanses their life, and they come into the sanctifying force of the presence of God, and the Word of God begins to feed them, then the next point of attack is to confuse their hearts and trouble their hearts so they will not allow the Lord to fully fill them, and they keep back certain areas of religious tradition and satanic life. And he deals with this all through the New Testament. The tremendous burden upon the Lord, which is portrayed through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, till it comes to a climax in Hebrews 5. And he says, oh, you guys, he said in verse 11, he says, my, you've come to a place where it's hard for me to tell you any more about the revelation of Jesus being a high priest. Because you're dull of hearing. We think, oh, the Bible's got everything in it we need to know. Oh, no, it doesn't. Because dull of hearing will keep you from receiving that. You can have the words here, brother. But, oh, my, the receiver is the one that limits and veils the word. That's what the Lord dealt with in 2 Corinthians. He said, they veiled the face. The veil came over the heart. And then the veil was on the word. When Moses came out of the mount, the glory of the Lord, first they put a veil over his face. Next, the veil spiritually became a part of his heart. And then the word was veiled. And in our day, it's just in reverse. He's loosening the veil. He's taking the veil off of the word. He's taking it off of our heart so that we can receive the Holy Ghost and the deliverance and the anointings of his filling of our life. Hallelujah. Every area of our life has to be dealt with. You think just one session of victory is all you need? No. Every time, hallelujah, there is God dealing with us in certain areas. We progress. He'll deal with us in the home. He'll deal with us with our finances. Deal with us in every area of our life, our emotions. Then he'll deal with us in our relationship with our loved ones. And then he'll deal with us on a higher level of those over us in the fellowship with us, the saints. He'll deal with us to be concerned with others. He'll deal with us in the ministry to know how to help others. He is continually working in us. Like what the brother said, we'll just allow him to keep working. Amen? And that's the reason now. He said, nothos. He used the word, Greek word there when he said, you're dull of hearing. You're the one that keeps back the revelation. He said, here, I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to impart to you. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just, I give up. He said, here, I want to explain to you the greater revelations of Jesus as the high priest. But he says, you're dull of hearing. Nothos means by former teaching, you have smothered out, you closed your heart's door. By former teaching. By the tradition of that which is easier, that which you can label, that which you can really, it's a lot easier to control. Actually, the word is control. God has given us dominion, and so instead of taking that, allow the Spirit of God to come upon us to get dominion, take dominion in the earth, then the people of the Lord have to be taken and brought under control. Why there are certain areas of the music there's areas of music that will set people free, or there's areas of music that will keep people as robots. You've got the nice, staid type of music, and that keeps a certain group of people from going on in, raising their hands, and being free. Then you got on the other side, the hard, the more of the beat for the youth that will keep them as robots and just numb zombies, Christian zombies. And then you've got the creative, and that which is of the Spirit that will cause the heart to crumble. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now this is why Jesus said, now, let not your heart, let not your door be clogged up by tradition and by former teaching. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to teach you. Learn of me, in that famous scripture that most of us know in Matthew 11, 28 to 31. Learn of me means allow me to teach you. Jesus said you need teaching. And he said, I want you to know that I'll teach you my ways. Hallelujah. Allow me to teach you. I want to lift off of you the spirit of heaven. You that are laboring, you that are heavy laden. And he picks us up from Isaiah's vision in Isaiah, where he saw the Lord high and lifted up. It was confusing to Isaiah to see the Lord high and lifted up. And then later on, the 53rd chapter, when he saw the vision of he that is marred and he that is wounded for our transgressions and we did not desire him. And Isaiah knew it was the same person. How can these things be? The beauty of the high and the lifted up one and the beauty of the suffering one. Hallelujah. That wonderful revelation is complete then, see. And this is why the child of God is admonished to come into that, the anointing of that, the thorough bringing forth and arming ourselves with the mind of Christ. Because of the things that he has suffered, we arm ourselves. In other words, the mind of Christ is your weapon to realize, to fully realize that your heart's door is opened up to the trust that God has put within us. And that trust begins with John 10:17, where the Lord says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. We give of ourselves completely unto the Lord, because we know his love for us. So John 14, I just want to start that with you as a complete foundation. When we come into the spiritual walk of the Lord, is that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the door of your heart is very important. That's what the Lord deals with. That's why he works with us in the Gospels, is to prepare the door, to prepare the entry of his revelation of his person. And when we come to the spiritual manifestation and the freedom of the gifts of the Spirit, if we do not lay this foundation solid and strong and potent, you'll miss, and you will be invaded upon by former apprehension and caution, to where you are not solid in that, yielding completely and throwing wide the door of your trust in him. Hallelujah. That he'll not give you a stone. And the reason he said, I'll not give you a stone, is that he meant the false stone. He'll give us his stone. And the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost, is the stone without the hewing of man. It's the stone out of the mountain, friend, that caused the nations to crumble. That's what Daniel saw, and it's the stone of his presence. And he is the rock. Hallelujah. He's the foundation stone, and he's the headstone. He said, I'm not going to give you a heavy, false rock, a tradition. I'll not give you a stone that will be hung around your neck to drag you back. But he says, I'm going to give you a stone of life. A foundation stone. And what he meant was, I will be in you, the foundation stone. Allow me to fully fill your life. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. The word believe there means receiving all that I say. Believe means to adhere to walk in, to come into the very being. If we believe it, we come in and allow him to completely fill our lives. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he used the Greek word mone, M-O-N-E. And he says, there are many mansions in my Father's house. Now the house of the Father is the body of Christ by the resurrection, and those who walk in newness of life are those who have come into the house of the Father, and they are the mansion of the Lord. The word mone. And then later on in that 14th verse, the 14th chapter, he says, my Father and I, to show you the love of the Father. Now the love of the Father is that which brings forth a trust when it comes to the anointings of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You'll find that Satan is so clever that he uses every positive principle and turns it into negativism. The fundamentalists who feel it's their banner to fight the charismata or the anointings of the presence of the Lord, which we call the gifts of the Holy Ghost, I believe it's nothing else than just the presence of Jesus taking hold of a person's life. It's the personality of the Lord. It's his attributes of prophecy, interpretation. It's his discernment. It's his healing. It's his anointing to bring forth his wisdom. It's not something apart from Jesus. See, everything that he is saying here, I'll come and make my abode within you, then the world says, oh no, that's not of the Lord, that's of the devil. See, we need love instead of the gift. No, Jesus said, it's because of the love you receive it. Glory to God. And this is exactly the reason why the enemy turns every positive principle of teaching that the Lord brings to his people to give them a solid walk. And your feet shall not be taken, neither shall you be overcome with sudden fear. And fear is the opposer of the presence of the Lord, which released the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul told him, right in two verses, stir up the gift, Timothy, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, and they are attached to each other. Paul implies that the spirit of fear is a great opposer of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. God hasn't given you that gift, the opposer. Some people have that gift just to, every time they have that little chip, that little gospel chip on their shoulder. Every time tongues is mentioned, there's a great defender of the faith. Backwards. That's right. Boy, they've got the scriptures down and their spirit rises up. What we need is more love. Yeah. Devour you to pieces. So the humbleness of your heart to allow the Holy Ghost to come upon you is to allow the presence of Jesus to know that the manifestation of Jesus' life within you is the gift and is the fruits of the Spirit. If you see it any other way, you'll be perplexed. The enemy will try to defeat you. After you're used in the Holy Ghost, there will be all kinds of opposition. But when you know it's Jesus Christ within you, it's his manifestation of his life, and that's why John 14 is so important. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and the word is mone. And then he says, my Father loves you, and to prove his love, he says, my Father and I, and the Holy Ghost, he implies that, will come and make our abode within you. And the word abode is mone, the same word he used for mansion. So you're the mansion of the Lord. Oh, I thought I was going to get a mansion when I get to heaven. Oh, you'll get more than that. But let's not put everything in heavenly places. Bless God, we got a little heaven to go to heaven in. And I like that old hymn of the church. His heaven there, where Jesus is. It's when Jesus fills your life. It's heaven there. Hallelujah. So praise God, get under the spout and the glory comes out. And that's with the presence of the Lord, that we have this anointing in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. And that's why the Lord said, now this treasure is in earthen vessels, and you're the mansion of the Lord. I've come and made my own mone. The ladies know the term mone. It's a type of adornment. Or it's used, that's just a secular term for jewelry and so forth. But he uses that Greek word, mone, which means you're the mansion, you're adorned with my presence. Hallelujah. You're the mansion of the Lord. And you allow me to build within you my fruits and my gifts, because they're both essential. When he used them as he taught Peter, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus taught him. He says, now, Peter, I want you to know, thou art the Christ. He's the anointed one, the Son, the disciplined one, of the living God, the creative one. That's why it was so important, that foundation stone to be within us. He is the anointed one, as to give us power to discipline ourselves, to release the creative word. And every gift of the Holy Ghost must be released vocally. The vocal cords are so important. Are the vocalizing of that which God brings forth. Is that which he speaks by his word through us. And that's why it's very important that the word, hallelujah, not return void, but the expression of faith and victory within the life of the believer. You will get to where there is an anointing of wisdom and faith and power, and just to speak it. you will find out that the very thrill of living is to prepare your own foundation for the day. I'll be teaching more on the counsel of the Lord during the night season. But during the day, you'll speak a foundation for you and your family to walk on, to live in. The creative word is very important. It's a little different from, as others are saying, well, just to hold that everything will happen all right. Well, it's not especially in that realm, but it is in the realm that everything that happens is under the permission of the Father. Mm-hmm. Pilate told Jesus, he said, you better talk to me. Your life is in my hand. Well, what Jesus said was very important for you and I. For Jesus said, you cannot do one thing except it be permitted of my Father. Mm-hmm. Pilate didn't want to hear that one, but hallelujah. My life isn't in your hand, Pilate. My life's not out here in the world's hand. My life is in his hand. And nothing happens to me or my family but what the Father permits it. Let's praise God for that. Glory to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Put a wall of fire around every home. Put a wall of fire and loose my brother. Loose my sister. We open our hearts to thy presence. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Blessed are we this day, Lord. You reveal this unto babes. You reveal this unto us. We praise you for it. Thank you, Father. The revelation of the Father is that which Jesus said was very important, because he said, this is the promise of the Father. This is the revelation of the Father. And the Father promised this to the Son in their conversation at the foundation of the world. Jesus was pondering in his spirit like Rodin's thinker, that statue of the man is thinking, looking out all over the universe. Son, what's on your mind? Well, I'm just concerned about how to build your house, Father, so that you can dwell in forever. 2 Chronicles 17, he told, I think it's 1 Chronicles maybe, he told David, or told Nathan, he said, tell David, I've gone from one tent to another, from one tabernacle to another. In our modern vocabulary would be something like this. I've just gone from pillar to post, and I'm looking for some people that I can fill, hallelujah, with my presence, where I can rest. See, not only are we emphasizing the rest that we have in him through the gifts of the Spirit, but we allow him to rest in us when we release the gifts of the Spirit. See? That's the thing that is the primary thing. Father, rest in me. Rest in me. How does he rest in us? Thus saith the Lord, laying hands on the sick and let them be healed by his anointing. Bringing forth the discernment of the Lord, speaking and setting them free. Coming forth with the wisdom of prophetic anointing. One of the most dormant gifts that was given to the church is the gift of wisdom through the gifts of the Holy Ghost that are spoken in the people of God. And I loose that gift of wisdom. I loose it in you, and I loose it in me. I loose it in the whole body. We loose the gift of wisdom. Handalamas, handalamas. We loose it, Father. Let's all do that. Hilamas, handalamas, handalamas. We loose discernment. We loose wisdom. We loose the miraculous. We loose the words of knowledge and all the expression gifts. But Lord, we thank you that all of them will be wrapped up in thy divine wisdom. Hallelujah. Holy Adamas, Sandala Mariandala Masia. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Because here his life, his abode is within us. I want to live within you. I want to rest. I am gone from pillar to post. But Jesus is thinking. He said, Father, he said, I'm concerned about the foundation, about the house that I'm to build with every believer, the living stones. The Father said, well, son, do you think you can lay the foundation? The Bible said he was crucified before the foundation of the world. Now, son, do you think you can lay the foundation? He's the foundation stone. Jesus said, yes, Father, I know your heart. You're not satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats. It's written in the volume of the book of me. I've heard the volume of the book. Who is the volume of the book? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that each one of us, the word volume means a part of a whole. And every one of us are a volume, a part of a whole. The eye cannot say of the hand, I have no need of you. So we're the part of the volume of the body. And we're the volume of the book. Hallelujah. And if you don't, you're not comfortable with the term book, then look in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2 and 3 and 4, where we are written upon in our door. Our heart is written upon by, not with ink, but by the Holy Ghost. And by allowing the Holy Ghost to move upon us, the book's being written. Praise God. And then he writes another book of remembrance of that which he's already written on our hearts. Hallelujah. As we discuss it together. Amen. Those that fear the Lord in Malachi 3. Those that fear the Lord and speak often of his name. A book of remembrance is recorded. Amen. So watch what you say. Hallelujah. Now this is very important. Why am I taking time to lay this kind of a foundation? It's because of the security that Jesus laid when he taught it to Peter. He said, Peter, first of all, what you're saying is a revelation of the Father, and it's not the revelation of flesh and blood. Now get that in your noggin and get it good, Jesus is saying, that when I give you the word, don't you give credit to flesh and blood. And don't you allow the enemy to come against you and say, that's you doing it. It is you doing it. It is you yielding, but the Father's revealing it to you. Because it's building up me. Amen. So that's the primary workings of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Ghost is to build up Jesus and not to give you or I the occasion to show off spiritually. Amen. Boy, we've got so much in a rut that if brother or sister so-and-so don't get to show off on Sunday morning, we haven't had a good meeting. We could camp there a little while. So that's the other side of the picture. And our primary effort here this morning is to create a body recognition that Jesus fills his body. And when we realize that and receive that as a revelation of the Father, then we will discern the body. And every time the Spirit of God moves, there are several. You think God just picks out this one or that one? No, the Holy Ghost moves in a whole congregation, and someone can really come forth and jump the gun now and then. Doesn't mean they're the only ones that's been given. There's another message that could be given to fully explain that which the Lord is saying to the congregation. So it's very important for the leadership to be sensitive and to not try to hurry a meeting so that we know what the message the Lord is trying to get for. God told me, he said, son, you can study. You can go into G. Campbell Morgan and Spurgeon. And I don't mind you studying and seeing what others had for their generation. But he says, if you really want to know what I'm talking to my generation and to your generation, which is now, he said that message was for them and it's beautiful, but it was limited. Now I want you to listen to the gifts of the Holy Ghost in my people. And that what will release the anointing that I've given you to project for this hour. And most of the ministers are going back into other revelations, trying to put a round peg into a square hole or office, and preaching things that are out of date. Whoever taught us to preach a barbed wire sermon 3 points and you're through anyway? Throw in an illustration. Preaching's going to change, friend, because congregations, the enemies tried to use music to deafen the ear of God's people. One way he's tried it is through music. But through music, in the historic churches, David Ingalls, who's a great songwriter in my estimation, and the anointing of David Ingalls was given by prophecy, because I was the one that God chose to release him 3 years ago. But that man told me, he says, the words that he is writing are very good and building up into the body of Christ. There are others that will be releasing, and some of you that will be released in the dimension of creative talent. This week, get ready. Hallelujah. But David Ingalls told me as he was, I was in his home, he was playing his last album. And he said, Brother Chuck, he said, all this, now this is the choir arrangements, and we've got so many orders, we can't even keep up with the printing of the orders we're getting for the choir arrangements of those tremendous faith-building songs and deliverance songs. He says, you know who's ordering them? The Episcopalian churches, the Presbyterian churches, and the Baptists, and so forth. He says, I don't understand it. I said, Brother David, I understand it. I've been preaching. God's been telling me that he's going to cleanse their blood. I'll get into that later on. But the blood speaks, and it means cleanse the message of the historic churches, and the people are going to hear it through music, and they're going to cleanse, and they're going to devour their clergy. Either they shape up or ship out. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God is moving on. You think God's moving on the clergy? No, he's moving on the musicians. And that's why Elisha said, call me, get me a musician. What do you call it? Minstrel. The armies came to him and said, we have no water. What are we going to do? We can't fight without water. The army of the Lord needs the water. The prophet of God says, all right, the gifts of the Holy Spirit have been held back because we need the minstrels. And the minstrels release the gift. I'll get up to minister and the prophetic word will be so hard to release. I'll just say, oh, people, let's praise the Lord. Start singing. When they start singing, the minstrel anointing comes and the prophet begins to move. The anointing of the prophetic word begins to move. Hallelujah. The gifts are released. And that's how it's going to... One of the ways. There's many other ways. But praise God. God is releasing his presence. And that's what he told Peter. He said, Peter, flesh and blood does have revelation. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, Simon Barjona. In other words, I want you to know that later on the enemy will try to say that this is some kind of that you thought it up. And there's many people that have been stymied just by that reverse psychology that the devil uses upon them. And they're like little Linus in Peanuts comic strip. They got their little security blanket spiritually. They put their little security blanket in their mouth instead of speaking the word of the Lord. I don't want to get in the flesh. See, it's unreasonable. And anything the human heart doesn't want to do, we have the ability to resist the devil. But see, when it comes to spiritual things, oh, I don't want to get in the flesh. I want to be all of God and none of me. If the Lord wants me to have any gift of the Spirit, he knows where I'm at. He knows where you're at, and he'll lead you there, too. Amen. Oh, it's humorous when you talk about it, but it happens every day. Gospel rocking chair. Don't tell me how to seek the Holy Ghost. I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 20 years. I know how to seek the Holy Ghost. But oh, the power and the presence of His anointing when you establish yourself, first of all, that confession of faith, thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of, the disciplined one, of the creative Word within you. Hallelujah. That's a revelation of the Father. It's because the Father abides within you. And Jesus said, all right, there's two things that are happening now. The fruits and the gifts that have come forth. One is, upon this rock I'll build my church. So we're in a building program. And that's what Jesus was worried about. Father, how are we going to build the building? How are the stones going to stay together? I don't want to start something and have the universe say in Luke 14, have everybody else say he started the building and couldn't finish it. And that's why in Zechariah the prophet comes forth and say, when they come forth with the headstone, we cried grace, grace unto it. It's because the Father's given us grace in releasing his fruits among us. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the temperance, the meekness. All of these things within you and I keep us together. Hallelujah. So the fruits of the Spirit build the house of the Lord. And the gifts of the Spirit, they're the battle. And after the Father said, all right, I want you to know that the fruits of the Holy Ghost, he said, by their fruits you shall know them. And Jesus said, what'd you say, Father? The Father said, by their fruits you shall know them. Oh, he said, that sounds good. Can I tell them that? The Father said, you can tell them anything I say. By their fruits you shall know them. In other words, by the fruits of the Spirit, they are the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when they release the fruits, and when they release the anointing of that fruit, hallelujah, and that security of anointing builds the body of Christ. That's the house of his rest. That's the place of his refuge. Praise the Lord. The authority of his power and his glory. Thank you, Jesus. And that's because it's why it's very important to the Father to move within you with love, to move within you and I with peace, to move within us with patience. Because his treasure is in the earthen vessel. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus went back to that solemn look. And the Father said, now what? Well, he says, you know, Lucifer is one of the enemies going to be after that house to tear it up because of the universe. The Father says, well, he says, I promise you that the Holy Ghost will come upon them that allow him to move upon them, and they will receive the weapons of their warfare, which are not carnal, but they'll be filled with your life, which is the gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit shall wield the sword of your mouth, and the word shall take effect, and every ability of your presence will be released through the individual. And they will conquer the enemy. You will lay the foundation of that victory, and they will confess it and build on that. They will continually be drawing from the foundation upward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's why he that is under us, hallelujah, he that is the everlasting arm, fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now this is the ability. Jesus said, because of the gifts of the Spirit, because of the manifestation of my presence within you, I am the Christ, the anointed one, to bring discipline, to speak through you. Then you must have the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit abiding within you. You're like Nehemiah on the wall. You have the troll and you have the sword. You cannot just build with a troll. You've got to warfare and get the enemy off of your back, hallelujah, while you're building the wall. Some people that just study the Word all the time are not fulfilling the complete battle of the Lord in their life. And that's why some people just use the Word as a defense doctrinally, when they could be having the sword of the Spirit to buffet the enemy. And if you just use the sword without the trawl, then all you got is power gifts without ethics, without Christian character. You're sharp. You're cutting. You give people gospel karate chops. Bless God, why don't you have faith? And you feel worse when you leave than when you came. Because they build on the premise, their ministry is built on the defeated premise of the people of God. And I don't like that. Bless God, I'm not a defeated foe of anybody. I mean, I'm talking about the Christian body. And I want somebody to preach on that which I am a deficit. I want them to preach that which I can walk out on, and when I leave that word, it is created within me. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's watch that approach. We build because, in other words, if we have to minister pre-programmed, that bless God, everybody's half backslidden and not making it. Listen, Jesus, when he spoke according to that which the Father hath given you to me. Hallelujah. He said, you're precious in my sight, and he gave him something to walk on. I'm sure there's balances here, but I feel that the anointing of God, it's better to believe and to discern the body of Christ, who Christ died for, and speak it, praise God, that the presence of the Lord is within his people. Hallelujah. Because, see, that approach is a hangover in the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you really have the gift of the Holy Ghost in prophecy, brother, you're going to speak it and command hellfire and brimstone on God's people. And every time you get up to be used of God, it's going to be negativism and wrath and disappointment. I'm talking about getting in the habit of these things. Now, when we come, there is a seer anointing, but brother, you won't even have to defend that. But some people have a certain type of negativism with their own spiritual egotism that when they're used of God, it's always cutting to the quick. Nobody's living right but me and Aunt Susie and us four no more. So don't get in any habit that way. Yeah, but you should give forth that old Jeremiah. And well, yeah. Sure, that'll come. But praise God, when that anointing hits, the saints of God will be edified just as well. Hallelujah. But there's ways of saying things. God said, don't you beat my sheep. You say what I want you to say. And when Paul grabbed Timothy, he didn't grab Timothy, bless God, by the nape of the neck. You better get right with God. You've neglected the gift. Paul says, Timothy, I want to put you in remembrance to stir up the gift. It was firm enough. Hallelujah. I want to put you in remembrance to stir up the gift. There's ways of saying things. Oh, yes, many times the Lord will show me that there are people that need a little shillelagh. But he says, son, speak to them. And when you speak to them, that which God will do in them, it creates life. And they repent and they change. Give them something to change with. There's none of us that know that we're, or that has, you know, I mean, that we're so deceived that we don't know we're doing wrong. I mean, everybody knows. They just want, give me something to step out on. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you appreciate this, because if you have a foundation, and that's what he's saying. Now, when you release the gifts of the Spirit, know that you're building. Be positive. Be brief. Give it forth in a building manner. To build faith. To build love. To build meekness. The gifts of the Spirit is to build with. Not tear down. But when you build. Hallelujah. Well, there could be a word of challenge involved with it. But you understand what I'm talking about. Speak out the building. Hallelujah. And then the release of the battle. The gifts of the Holy Ghost. Is that presence of His power and His anointing. And therefore then, as His presence takes over. See, He's the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. So He said, now don't let your heart, you're the mansion of the Lord. Don't let your door be closed. Open your heart. And now trust me and allow my Spirit to teach you. Hallelujah. Praise. I believe Glenn and Irma was with us that a few years ago. And there was a brother named George, Daryl Kahn and I, was teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're praying for people. Many of the brethren were helping us. And they come over to me and they said, we have a real hard one over here. He's a hard nut to crack, someone said. Help us pray. And boy, people were just receiving right and left. And let's all maybe join together, because I trusted those brethren. They praise God, they were experienced. And so I said, well, brethren, let's just agree together. Maybe we can all help him. And I said, well, Lord, just show us what would help this brother. Because I didn't feel any definite hindrance, just of great hesitancy. A real attack, a remorse in the brother's ability himself. He just, that self-confidence, it just beat to a shred. The Lord says, all right. He says, you tell the brother this. I said, George, you've said some things in your life that you didn't mean. You've even cursed, and you've hurt your loved ones. When you said those words, you lost your temper, and therefore you didn't mean to say that. The enemy took over your tongue. He said, yes. And I just, oh, praise God, positioned myself. And I said, now, George, in the name of Jesus, you get that righteous indignation and aggravation against the devil, because he moved you and pressed you to say things that you didn't want to say that would hurt your loved ones. Now you turn that to the good, and you release your tongue in the name of Jesus to say things that Jesus wants you to say. In the name of the Lord, release the gift of the Holy Ghost. He began to speak in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because they let that release. But there had to be a function from within, a determination. Hallelujah. He saw it. I've said things I didn't want to say. Now, praise God, I'll yield my tongue to Jesus. Hallelujah. And the wisdom of the Lord will be expressed through you. Hallelujah. And so that is where, praise God, the Lord is moving. Now, let's read from Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's the unity of the body. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Put around the word cloven, Psalms 1, meditation. Meditation and cloven is the same. He that meditates in the law day and night is the one who will speak the cleansing of the Holy Ghost. The word meditate means to chew the cud, which is taken from the clean animal, the cow, which has cloven feet. So cloven foot or feet is a sign of cleanliness. When you read the word, you're clean, or you're being cleansed, and that releases the gift of the Holy Ghost within you, gives you a complete rest and a complete dependence on the presence of Jesus within you, which releases the cloven tongue as a fire. And that's why the Bible uses the word cloven. It means you're a clean, I don't like the word animal, But let's say you're a clean vessel unto the Lord. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that process of cleansing, it does not mean you're clean as a standing and as an individual, because the Holy Ghost then moves within you and reveals things that need to be refused and rejected and renounced. But the Spirit of God comes upon you to start that process of cleaning up the temple. Don't feel that, well, I'm not ready, or anybody's ready to have the process and the anointings of God in your life, to yield to them. Pray in the Spirit daily. Builds up your most holy faith to release the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now I'll come back to this part of the teaching to review, and then tomorrow we'll go on into the very presence of the Lord, the dealings of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Why was 1 Corinthians 13 there? And the dealings of the ministration, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to bring forth the ministration of the kingdom and the gift of the Holy Spirit to sustain the Spirit's power and the presence and the attributes of Jesus within you. And that which is the anointings of the Lord. We'll also have the workshop on release. I want to now point you to a personal testimony as we release ourselves in the anointings of God. 1 Corinthians 14. My wife Marianne and I were in the ministry some 8 to 10 years as pastoring. She thought that, not in a quenching matter, but she felt that the gifts of the Spirit, in interpretation especially, was for the more honored few. There are many that feel like that if the gift operates, that they should not have the gift if it operates through someone else. I do not hold that opinion because of scriptural evidence. I believe the potential, because of the presence of Jesus within you, the potential of every gift is at your command and release. Otherwise, we start bickering and fussing and wondering which gift we got. Jesus said, would you hush? You got me, you got everything. And that's the same way when, and he deals with us as priests, as God dealt, Jehovah God deals with his priest in the Aaronic priesthood. They were standing around and saying, bless God, we don't have any land. All the other tribes got land. In Ezekiel 44, God said, all right, I don't want to hear this anymore. He says, I want you guys to know that yes, you don't have any land because you got me and I have the land. You see, and so God said, I'm your possession and I'm your inheritance. And I don't want to hear any more about this. You teach your people to praise me and I'll see that your needs are met. Because you don't have your name on a certain dotted line, there's no sign, bless God, you don't have the land. Glory. You got it. Praise the Lord. You will possess that inheritance. And so that's what Jesus said. Don't be wondering, oh, Brother Chuck, I've heard in innocent-like, and I'm not putting down. I'm trying to teach now. He said, now I want, or people will say, oh, pray for me to see what gifts I've got. Friend, if you have Jesus, and I say this respectfully, that anointing of God, and when, as the Spirit of God comes upon you, you're speaking in heavenly language, that is the first one of the ladder. That means the potential of every gift. As the need arises, you can release it. Of course, there's an order. Of course, there are those, that discipline and order that we all cannot release it in the same meeting. That is reasonable. So there is wisdom involved. And there's love involved. So praise God. My wife was praying and she said, Lord, I would like the gift of interpretation. The Lord says, you already have had it. And so he gave her the scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. And in this portion of scripture, it's very important. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. This is a command. Wherefore? He says, even so, in verse 12, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church, and please underline that, to the edifying of the, my ministry. No, the church. But when Marianne told me this, she said, you know, I see it as a command. She said that an unknown, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, pray means that he may interpret. That means desire. The root meaning of the word prayer here is desire. When Jesus went down into the water, when John the Baptist baptized him, he was praying. It doesn't mean he was petitioning. It means it's a harpazo. It means that he was desiring onward. When he was praying, the disciples came to him in Luke 11:1, and they said, Lord, teach us how to desire, is the original Greek word there. They had seen many people pray, but there was something about this man that desired the Father. Hallelujah. Teach us how to desire onward the Father. Praise the Lord. Prayer means it's sort of an off thing that possibly God will hear. Possibly, oh, I hope I'm praying right, you know, petitioning. But Jesus said, no, that's not that which is communion. I want to desire the Father. Hallelujah. I want to desire onward. Desiring onward is the original word there that Jesus used here. Desiring onward, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, I command him that speaketh in an unknown tongue to interpret. That's what Jesus is saying. And you know, the minute Marianne told me this, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I want you to study, get into the Word, and have release classes around the world. I want you to raise up leadership that is already potent in the individual's life. The potential is the word I want to use there. It's already there. You release it. You have the opportunity to release. He says, I trust my people, and they'll release it when they're given the opportunity. The sheep will release. All the shepherd has to do is say, okay, praise God. I want you to release the full power of the Lord within you. I use the word shepherd as that which Jesus speaks through his ministry. And the anointing of the great shepherd who gave himself for us. But the authority of life is within you. You have the presence of Jesus. You have received the foundation stone. And now I want everybody to put their feet, 2 feet on the floor, set back in your chair, and let's release the workshop of anointing of the gifts of the Spirit. It's a command. All right? I want to just give you this point. The Lord dealt with me and he said, now if you speak in an unknown tongue, desire to interpret. If you interpret, desire to move in prophecy. If you prophesy, desire to move in word of knowledge. Word of knowledge, in other words, the gift still is there, just keep on releasing the steps of anointing and the gifts of the Spirit. Now, in with this comes, in a more mature manner, we'll dwell upon this briefly at another session, is the attitude. Now, when you interpret, some of you have interpreted before, some of you moved in prophecy and are being used in that dimension. Now, there comes a time when there's a possible, not a quenching, but a holding, because you're used to and you're knowledgeable of that which the Lord wants to release. Allow others who are more hesitant to be into the rest of the release of the gift of the Spirit. That's the problem we're having now in charismatic circles, is there are some that have these, and by going ahead and releasing, they tend to not realize that the body is being held back. Now, when you have your release substantially, then encourage others who are just beginning to learn, and that's why Glenn and them are very concerned about all of us here, that we have the opportunity to release the potential of his presence within us. Amen? And so that's why we're having this release workshop. Alright? We bring our minds now into subjection to the Holy Ghost. First of all, know that the Father is speaking to the church, his body, his loved ones. He's speaking through the individual. He'll always use a channel. When the Holy Ghost spake in the Bible, Acts 13:1, he used an individual. So what is the Father saying to his people? And therefore you'll speak in the first person as if God was speaking through you. This is full trust in the security that the presence of Jesus is within you. I want you to repeat after me, I have the presence of Jesus within me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They're dwelling within me. This gives me peace. This gives me trust. This gives me the release of vocalizing their presence to edify the house of the Lord. I will yield. I will rest. I will battle. I will build by the fruits of the Spirit, by releasing the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I will rest in the Word, rebuking all fear. I will speak with a humble heart. I will allow the Lord to loose me to the edifying of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, now I want you to speak in tongues, and as you pray in the Spirit, all together, we don't want later on, there's some men who don't want later on to just have a message and an interpretation. This is a workshop. Maybe that's the way it'll be done in maybe a worship service. But here, let's all give the message in tongues. And then as we give the message, then later on, as the Spirit moves upon us, each one will give the interpretation or prophetic word. Let's start with those gifts. Many other gifts will be released here this morning. And when they're released, the word of knowledge, raise your hand. I feel that someone possibly is ill in their back or some other thing that God might show you, and we're going to see God heal and deliver in a beautiful way. Hallelujah. We loose the gifts of the Spirit. Loose my brother. Loose my sister. Lord, I thank you that you've chosen to abide within us. We rebuke the revelation of flesh and blood. We loose the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father, that you trust us by filling us with your presence. We release the trust of the Lord. We release that you bear witness to us, filling us with the Holy Ghost, prophesying through us, bringing forth discernment, bringing forth wisdom, bringing forth miracles, bringing forth words of knowledge. We love you, Jesus. Hilama Sandala Maha. Oriyada Varandili Vosanta. Hilama Randili Mosikara Maha. Hilama Randili Vosuliyada Varanda. Praise the Lord. Now, just put your hands in a comfortable position of receiving. You don't have to have them way high or way low, but just in a medium, just sort of a relaxed position, because we are not robots or mediums. The anointing of yielding is upon you now, and the glory of God is speaking through you as the Lord speaks. And you'll, hallelujah, release it.
Listen unto me. I have given you the Spirit. I have given it to you with power and with power. I say unto you, it is a gift. And many have taken the gift and set it on the tent. Many haven't reached into it. It's like a big box of candy. There's many layers of candy within the box, but many have only taken the top piece. You've only spoken in tongues. You've only exercised that gift. I say to you, get into the box.
That's right.
Do not hide it into your dresser.
Very
Do not
good.
Put it in a jar and sneak it out from company.
Thank you, Jesus.
I say, reach into the box. Go into the deeper layers. I say you will go into and use all these layers, and it will be edified, and you'll find
That's
it.
That's right.
Are under the pieces of candy, that there's many fruits that are goodies.
Good.
I think you dig down into the box, and then you get into the bottom there, you find there are stronger gifts. There are ministry gifts. There are prophetic ministries. There's evangelistic ministries. There's They're preaching and teaching ministries. They're my gift that I have given to you that I want to flow through you. Do not be worried about your flesh. I have given you the fire, the same fire that Elijah called down to burn water. It'll burn your flesh. Don't worry. If the fire is coming to cleanse you and to bring you into perfection, everything is to bring you into perfection, and it will be my glory, thus says the Lord.
Beautiful. What is the Lord saying to his people? Be brief, be positive, love the Spirit.
I'm not here, my word is knowledge that I receive, and I'll not point them out because I'm going to intercede for them also in prayer. But there are some here who have a spirit of commitment. They're afraid that if they release into this, the Lord will take them over and they'll look foolish. And I say to you, my children, be able to look foolish for the Lord. For when you stand and your mouth comes open, you'll no longer look foolish, but you'll look blessed, blessed, for it'll be Jesus that comes foolish.
Amen. Take that as an admonition now. The Holy Ghost, see, he knows your heart. All right? Now you release the gift. Let's allow these babes to be released now. Amen. Okay, some of you that have never been released before, begin to speak out. What is the Lord saying to his people? Hallelujah. That's the admonition of the Lord. Just don't hold back. Hallelujah. Just a few words, but just let it get your release. Maybe later on you'll be giving a few more words. What is the Lord saying to his people? Praise God.
Your heart's the name on people, and I will fill you with joy.
See how those woven together beautifully. Joy, and then joy picked it up. Thank you, Father. Someone else.
May I say unto thee, my children, this day, listen to me, for I have set a table before you, a spiritual table. Yea, I say, the matter says, come and dine. Yea, and I say I will quench these things with the spirit of living water. And yea, I say unto thee, move in the stream that I have set before you. Flow with me, and I will see you through all things, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's true. I see that as a vision. And God is saying, quit waiting around ankle deep. Get out to your knees and then take the plunge right under you.
Yes.
Because when you come up, you'll be drinking it. You'll be spewing it. You'll be splashing it on those that need salvation.
Praise
even those that need healing. Get out into the
Right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's beautiful. All right. Go ahead. Get out of it. Come on out. Release it. Oh, the anointing's here, folks. Amen. He'll not give you a stone. Just release it. Amen. That's good. All right. Someone else had started. That's fine. You continue. Good. Move out. I have many things for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. Hallelujah.
And yet I would admonish you to trust me, for I had entrusted you with myself. Lay aside every hesitancy, lay aside every doubt, they have every fear, for these things are not of love. And let me surround you with my love, and walk in my love, let your joy not be full.
Praise God. Beautiful. Love is that confidence that you release.
Thy ear, thou wilt with thine eye, thou wilt come here to death. Rest thy body mainly at death to thee, fit a little. But my child, I have much more for thee. Wilt thou let me quit thine appetite now? Me and I will quit thine appetite, and I will let thee realize it's not just hearing to hear, but hearing to seek my face in a new way, and I will fill me.
Well,
my love goes from me to you vertically. I would have my love go horizontally through you from one to another.
That's right.
And I would have you bound towards the love.
Hallelujah. All right, we'll pick this up from there, but I'd like to end this with those who have felt you're yielding up to a point that you need help. If you'll just step forward, we'll lay hands upon you, and I'd like the brethren and Brother Glenn and the other brothers to come and feel led, their sisters, and we want to release and have everyone to be released in that which God wants to flow through you. Hallelujah. So if you feel that this is your hallelujah desire, and but there's something you just need a little boost with, the laying on of hands will loose you. So come forward. Maybe the musicians could just begin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Now we lose the ministry of laying on of hands. There is that relief that when we touch you, and I feel that this is the occasion now. Hold off just a moment. The occasion now is to touch your forehead. The forehead is the spiritual eye to release the gifts of the Spirit. And as we release the forehead, that is the intercession for others. Those that prayed over Jerusalem, God sealed them in their forehead. So this is the perception why hands are laid on the forehead. Now when we touch the back of your head, that's all the inward strife and insecurities and fears and perplexings and bruising. All of that will be healed. As we touch the back of your head, your emotions are going to be healed and your nervous system will be healed so that you can have a peace to give up the authority of the Lord. So at this part of the meeting is, unless the Lord moves in his way that we're always relaxed with, there will not be a word given, but you allow the anointing of laying on of hands to release you, to have you flow completely into the area of that capacity of anointing God has given. All right? Lord, we just thank you now that you'll loose each one of us by the power of the anointing of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, Father, for that anointing, for that peace, for the tranquility of thy love and thy joy. We loose, my brother. We loose my sister by the power of God. Hallelujah.
Song of the Lamb is what we've been hearing. But you who have, you ladies, when that Spirit of the Lord moves on you, sing, sing. That's the song of the Lamb coming forth. Sing it unto the Lord. Don't hold back, but release and sing. That's the joy of the Lord being brought forth in our midst. The song of the Lamb being revealed unto us. Release it and sing it unto the Lord. You are
I am lifted up, and His strength is the temple. Yes, I am lifted up, and His glory fills the temple. So sing a new song, sing a song to the Lamb that was slain, for He is high and lifted up, and His glory fills the temple. The song of mourning be turned into joy, and clad yourself with a garment of praise. For the Lord Most High is worthy. Let your spirits raise in songs of rejoicing as He entered His holy. We the veil is rent in twain. That which you feel is a Shekinah glory. And you may enter in His very throne. Just come and bow before Him. Just come and bow before.
Shall we all bow before Him? This is only a little touch of the glory of the Lord. God has a mighty army. Many of them are hidden under the rocks, but they're going to come forth. As the Lord is delivering His people and purging His people, He can entrust them with this kind of glory and this kind of power. We would destroy each other with the power of God that He wants to give us if we are not delivered, if we are not set free from pride, if we're not set free from arrogance, if we're not set free from the things of the world. He wants us to be set apart unto Him. He has spoken to us this morning in beautiful words. The girls have sung unto Him. Their Messiah, their Savior. This is not any ordinary service. Glenn and I have gone to ordinary services for 50 years, Pentecostal services, and they have been wonderful and beautiful. But He says, I'll do a new thing. We do not have to sing the three songs and take up the offering and do the things. We want every one of these services to be led by the Spirit. It's only those that are led by the Spirit of God that will ever make the mature ones, that will ever come into that part that Romans 8 says, the manifestation of the sons of God. That means maturity, people. Many people have hurt that term, and people, the Christians, the sheep, are afraid of it. But God said it. in his word, and he is going to have a people that are cleansed and pure and perfect. And when he says, go, they won't hesitate. When he says, run, they won't hang back. When he says, pray for that person, heal that hospital completely, they won't say, oh, we can't do that, because they will know it is him in them. It is the Holy Ghost in him. It is the Father in them. And when these three are in us, totally, 100%, that is the manifestation of the power of God, of Jesus Christ in this earth. And that's where all will be healed. All will be delivered. Those are the overcomers. And that's what this campground is for, to get people. This is the preparation. We are in the days of preparation. We are in the days of restoration. Our bodies are being restored. We do not have to fear Satan. We need to fear God. The fear of God is to hate evil. I just praise the Lord for this unity of the Holy Ghost. We need the fruits of the Spirit to operate the gifts, and then we don't hurt anybody. The fruits of the Spirit are very important. And it is very important for us to know the flow of the Holy Ghost. How is he trying to flow today? Now, if you listened real carefully as those interpretations or those prophecies came forth, there was laying one thing on top of the other, and then we had the total worship of the Lord. When we minister unto the Lord, then we don't have to worry about ministering to people, because God will come down and minister. But we are here to minister unto our Father. We are here to minister to Jesus. Say that again.
When as they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Ghost spake. Acts 13:1.
Yes. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I feel that the Lord would have me speak something just shortly, that we have received the word of the Lord today, and we've received instruction, we've been edified, we've been uplifted, we've been blessed as we've blessed him. It's one thing to receive, and it's another thing to walk in that which you've received.
Amen.
And as I was praying up here a while ago, the Holy Spirit just came over my feet. And the Lord spoke to me that I was to lead you people in a confession that you will walk in what you've received this day. Mm-hmm. And if you don't mean this, don't confess it. But if you mean it, and if you confess it, you will be made an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now we're going to break.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.